Let's move forward this morning as we, after a relatively brief period, 3 months hiatus, we come back this morning, amen, and we move into a new document of ministry, volume 2. Everybody repeat after me, scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity, for manifestation in time. Now, if you recall, there is a volume 1 which we ministered some between 4 and 5 years duration. Amen. And then we moved to the matrix, and after we got to a certain point in the matrix, it became apparent that we need to come back and garner and glean from the balance of this document, volume 2, so that we can take this ingression into the matrix whenever we get back there. Whenever. We're not in a rush. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord has laid this thing out, and everything operates on His clock. As they say, amen, the saying and the adage, we operate on God's dime. Amen. Younger people might not be able to relate to that because you can't take out a dime in a phone booth anymore and make a phone call. But it means that we're operating, amen, on the basis of that which God has allowed. He has paid for this. He bought us with a price. Amen. And He has given the information and knowledge as to what He is and who He is and what He has done. Amen. And as we shall go through today, we shall see, amen, that there is a definite, listen to me, there is a definite determination as to what each and every one of us individually will know and understand concerning God's will. Who He is, what He has done, who we are, which must always be tied in relationship to who He is. I'll just make sure that excerpt. Amen. Again, this document here, for those that have joined us by way of the webcast, amen, if you go into either the audio or video section there in our website, www.gracegospel.com, there is an icon that you hit in this entire document, some 150-some pages, which is Volume 2. Volume 1 is somewhere within our discourse document link. Amen. But you get, if you are viewing this or listening to this, there's an icon in the section that you linked into to this section. In that section, there is an icon that will bring this entire document up. Amen. So we'll begin here today. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. I want you to open to the second page there. You'll see our base dissertation scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Now, for the time of our discourse, however long it is, we will come back to this again, again, and again, and again, and again. And the reason here is that what is conveyed to us is who we are and where we are, and the fact that God has preordained for those, according to His will, to know this. Come to comprehend what he has done. God has done something great and glorious. He has done something magnificent. Magnificent. Glorious. Oh, my God. Amazing. And even more, what he has done is that he has made, through manifestation, his workings available to certain ones. Ushers, again, make sure everyone that comes in get the document. Amen. You won't be able to follow me without the document. Amen. Part of what the Lord gave to us some years ago when we began is that everything that we preach and teach here at the Grace Gospel Ministry is in writing. Everything. We don't preach or teach anything that's not in writing. It's in writing. And as we move forward, it becomes apparent why we were given that directive. Amen. Also, we're going to be looking at the glossary of definitions. Some of them you're familiar with, others you're not. Amen. And also, we're going to do some exegesis this morning. Now, sometimes when we do that, others say, well, Pastor, you losers, why don't you just tell us what it is instead of going through the particulars? Well, amen. You have many translations and that are supposedly drawn from the Greek documentations and the copies of them, of the writings. No one has the original. We don't claim to have them either. But we go to the same material that the King James and the NIV and et cetera, BBE and Young's and all of them have drawn from these documents. And so since they are available, this is where we go, because I cannot stand here and begin to explain something to you until we first have an understanding of what we're saying. Right. Wrong utterance, automatically wrong explanation. Amen. So here we want you to look into Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3 is a very expressive chapter. Amen. In a very expressive epistle. Mm-hmm. Expressive in the sense that it abides in the venue and realm of spirituality. Now we have to stop and define spirituality. A lot of what we call spiritual is no, that's not spiritual. That's physicality masquerading. That's supernatural is not spiritual. Supernatural is just the natural souped up. Spiritual. It deals with the venue of eternality, wherein God dwell alone. And he said something, I should say everything, that needed to be said, which constituted everything that was to exist. Everything that is to exist includes creatures as well as events and occurrences. So eternity and eternality is where everything actually abides. In completed form. God's not doing things daily, you know, making decisions and whole lot of things that we have been taught that there is no scripture to back it up. Now, as we move into volume 2 of Scripture Distinctions, Actualization in Eternity from Manifestation in Time, we are going to do quite a bit of reprising. Go back and pick up the things that we have gleaned in Volume 1 and have continued to use in all of our ministry. But go back and reprise some things that, as we look into our glossary of definitions, actualization and manifestation, and as well as many other things here, and it becomes necessary not only to reprise it, but to stop and ruminate, that is, stop and chew on it, digest it, so that we all, amen, on the same spectrum as we move through scriptures. Amen. Elder, well, I see the time is far. Thank God, time is, it's always big time problem here. In the third chapter, maybe I won't have time to just, you know, if we only get through one or two verses today, that's always next time, isn't it? All right, amen. In this third chapter, amen, Paul lays out the ministry, the disclosing of the ministry. See the word dispensation there in verse 2, amen, and specifically what economy he's talking about, and that is the gospel of grace, so the grace dispensation that was given to him for us, the church. And he, verse 4, he tells how it was given to him, revelation. Amen. God took Paul into Arabia for 3 years. Oh my God, I could almost begin to shout here thinking about a 3-year Bible class from Jesus. Directly. Huh? Hallelujah. But that's what we get when we, because he said it was given to me for you. That is for the present church age. So whereby you can understand my knowledge, and Paul here is not talking about, you know, something that originated in him. It was his because Jesus gave it to him. So my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Everybody, amen, said the mystery. Now, always have to stop again. Amen. There's a document that we use in our Sunday morning in teaching. As I said, we write all our own material here. What is the revelation of the mystery? That is that message that God gave to Paul. That's what it is. And it's found in the volume of these 14 epistles. That is Romans through, yes, and including Hebrews. Amen. But we're not going to argue with anyone Amen. About that. Amen. Amen. Now, he describes it and identifies that in the other ages it was not known. So here we're dealing with something that is disclosed here that was never known anywhere else. If this is to be taken at face value, and of course this is the word of God. And so he has now revealed it unto his apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, for distribution in the present age of grace. And Paul is so adamant about this until he says to Timothy, don't preach any other gospel. Not that the whole Bible isn't true, but that message for you is coming out of the mystery. Everybody say the mystery. The revelation that God gave to Apostle Paul for for the church. Amen. That, I would say, advanced information that excels in the sense that its view, its vantage point is from the heavens. It is looking down on life instead of around in life. And I tell you, my friend, you get a better view looking down on life than around in life. My God. Now, it gives some benefits and advantages above the other covenants, the grace covenant. It equates Gentiles and Jews as fellow workers and fellow associates. And amen. In fact, when you look into the grace gospel, there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile or Greek, male and female, bond or free. Amen. Because as body members, we all draw from the head. Who is the head? Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, any time we come together, in this pulpit, someone standing up here, what's the subject? Jesus. And when you get through talking about Jesus, it's time to go home. You're through. Mm-hmm. Amen. This is why we said to the ministry here directing the ministry here and ministry, and say, you stand up here, you call, you do it. You call your text, you do what?
Exegete.
That means that you stop and you go through the exercises that we're getting ready to go through, so make sure that we saying the right thing before we start trying to explain what we're saying. Once you get that together, what do you do with the exegesis?
You explain.
You explain. Explain what you have, what you've exegeted, which is the text. Mm-hmm. Now, when you get through with that, what do you do? Sit down. Before the preparatory takes over. And then you're up here talking about a lot of crazy things that, that have nothing to do with the text. Regardless of what's going on out there, and you know, there are many things on the news, the Syria crisis, and in the city's bankruptcy, and all of the, you know, things going on. You look at the news and so forth and so on. And we can turn on the TV and look at that. We what are we coming for today? To hear from the Lord, huh? Not talking about five ways how you could do something. This message tells us that everything is already done. Oh my God. This is why our focus is beyond the things that are around us. And so as I move through this, Paul in verse 7 says, I'm so glad I was made a minister of this according to the gift of God. Amen. And he talks about his background and the fact that according to his background, he should not have been the one that God gave it to. But that's the way grace works.
It does.
God picked the worst man in town to give this message to. A murderer. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Not that we're highlighting these things, you know. No. Amen. Sin is sin. And it's the opposite of the nature of God. But the grace of God. Where sin abounded, grace super abounded.
Amen.
Oh my God, hallelujah.
Yes,
Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And then he tells the essence of what this will all culminate in. In verse 10, for the purpose and intent that in the beginning, all from the beginning on through, all will come at some place to recognize what God has done in this message. Amen. Verse 11, he said, according to, and we dealt with this yesterday in the men's fellowship, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished. Where? In Christ. Everything is in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. Everybody say in Christ. Remember that. That's where the locale of everything. In Christ. All of creation. Colossians 1:16. All things were created not by him. That's remote. In him. Amen. How? Hebrews 11:3. According to one saying. So that the thing that's appearing is going to come out of the seeing. It comes out of what? The saying. And this is why we have that aphorism around here. And everybody repeat after me. It's not in my seeing.
It's not in my seeing.
It's in God's saying.
That's
where everything is. Amen. And don't you ever depend upon information outside of what God is saying. Amen. Even if you're looking at it and it seems to be paradoxical to what the Word of God is saying, then there's something wrong with what you what you see. Because nothing is ever wrong with what God is saying. Now, in verse 12, it tells us that we have the boldness and access and confidence in that through the faithfulness of God in disclosing these things to us. And Paul suffered for that. Verse 13, we won't go there today, but he deals with sacrifice. There's a sacrifice in ministry. Amen. No, maybe not to the extent that Paul went through, but there's sacrifice in ministry. You know, somebody's not going to be accommodated. Things are not going to go according to what you want. Our agendas, even though we don't have any. But anyway, the essence of this is that this message is so glorious and so precious and valuable that it came with a price. Amen. As far as ministering it. And this is what Paul is talking about in that 13th verse. And he said, this is the reason I'm praying all the time. Verse 14. Amen. And he says, now, this hooks up everything that is. The whole family in heaven and earth. Amen. Is identified a name. Now, let's look at verse 16. Elder, I want you to read verse 16, 17. Oh, my God. 18 and 19 in the King James, and then go to the Greek, and then we'll probably be here for two or three outings, if not more. Amen. Because we're not going to rush through this. First of all, we must understand, if you're sitting here, amen, and you're receiving this, it's because the Holy Spirit has predetermined that you would know it.
I hear you.
Because everyone is not going to know this.
That's right.
Amen. So don't say thank you, pastor. Thank you, ministers. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And it's not because we deserve this. So this will all basically deal with that. All right, everyone has Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And somebody would say, my God, Pastor, that was a long, 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 long introduction, a preamble. Amen. Well, to get us where we are, I think it was necessary.
Yes.
Amen. So we take all of these aggressions now and we move forward. All right, read a read. Call your scripture.
Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with the 16th verse. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height? Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
All right, let's go to the Greek. And those of you who do not have, we also utilize here in the Grace Gospel Ministry the Greek interlineal. And we do this because you got the Greek word there, and right under it, you got the English word, and so one who prepared this document does not have free range to deviate unless he has some asterisk or bookmark there or something to let you know that he's gone off the track. Amen. And if the word is not there, and you'll see it several times where even he goes, because you know it's easier to flow downhill with the current than to go up against it. And so, but this is the reason that basically we utilize this. But then we don't stop there. After we get through there, we're going to go into the actual Greek manuscript and begin to outlay, so that we first of all establish what is said before we try to explain what is said. We got to know and be pretty confident of what is said. All right.
Ephesians 3:16 in the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
In order that he may give you, according to the riches of the glory of him, by power to become mighty through the spirit of him in the inward man.
Mm-hmm.
To dwell Christ through faith in the hearts of you in love, having been rooted.
Now you see the differences already. The difference between something that's in progress versus something that's complete.
That's it. Amen.
And the advantage is that if it is complete, you don't have to deal with the threat of it being interrupted because it's in progress. You know, I think one of the ministers that gave an analogy of like a movie. You know, it's the plot is there, and the ending is there. Or either any type of sporting events. You know, when your team is contending and you're looking at a replay.
Right, that's right.
And you already know that your team won.
That's right.
There's some trepidation of watching it when you don't know the outcome. If you know the outcome, if the other team scores 20 points, so what? Because you know the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's the advantage of eternal viewing. Everybody say eternal viewing.
Eternal viewing.
That in eternity everything is actualized.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is complete. Your life course is complete. It was completed in actualization before it ever started in manifestation. Just like if I'm looking at yesterday's game, and as Akron got the ball, what, on the 4-yard line, Michigan? You know, that was a lot of nervous people in that stadium and watching the TV. you want to look at that this morning on the replay, it would not draw that type of anxiety, would it? This is the way we got to understand about life. Your life is complete, and you are complete. Colossians, you are complete in Him. And it works. That is God's will for you, not against you.
Amen.
It was never designed except in testimonials.
Yes.
For God to get the ultimate praise and glory. Because not only has He never lost the battle, He has never lost the scrimmage. Don't that? So we never dwell upon the process. It is the purpose.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It is the completed and completion of things.
Yes, sir.
All right, Rita, did you finish that up?
No.
All right, just want to get started. All right, just listen for those that do not have Greek Antillinian. I hope that everyone that's a part of this ministry at some point, amen, you will have this, because this is part of our working apparatus that we use here. Amen. But just follow along in your translation, even though you're going to see some things that are different. So you read verse 16, right?
Yeah.
All right, finish up that.
Verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 17, it's in the Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
To dwell Christ through faith in the hearts of you, in love, having been rooted and having been founded, Verse 18. In order that ye may have strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth.
Mm-hmm.
19.
Mm-hmm.
And to know the excelling knowledge, love of Christ, in order that ye may be filled to all the fullness of God.
Now, what he's not able to pick up, because there aren't many that are going follow the script to the point where they become alienated from the orthodox version and orthodox teaching. Throughout what he have read, in some cases you see him use what we call the aorist tense religiously. And that's the time when you see he speaks of a thing as it being done. Other times, he follows the American Bible Greek societies, edict that if it's not in indicative mood, that is a fact, that not shown as a fact, that's what we call indicative mood, that you ignore the aorist tense. So you see participles and infinitives, and we'll get into all of that. Don't worry about trying to pick up all that right now if you don't know what I'm talking about. And one that's very troubling to them, that is the subjunctive mood, which gives the inference of a probability.
Mm-hmm.
When there is the aorist tense, what is the aorist tense?
Completed
action. Amen. The rule is that you ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those that are watching, don't think we don't know what the rule is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of an infinitive, in the English we treat an infinitive by putting two in front of it. Two C, two go.
Right.
Which automatically gives what? An inference of the future. And yet there's an aorist sitting there, and the Greek American Bible Society is telling us to ignore it. There's a participle there. Ignore it. And absolutely, if you're talking about something that is a probability, you must be talking about something in the future, so ignore it. But see, that is if you are speaking from the vantage point of earthly viewing. Hear this message, as Paul has attested, comes from the eternal heavenly vertical view of looking down, amen, and from the vantage point of where it is speaking, all of these things are already done. You all don't hear me this morning. So if you said to be, it has to be to be, haven't been. And if it's a probability, you have to say might be, haven't been.
Glory.
Say, Pastor, you crazy. How can you go up against those guys? You're a Greek scholar. No. There are two, and I thank God for the young Greek scholars. I don't count myself as being a Greek scholar. But what they have raised is the question that, what is the difference between the present and the aorist if you're going to ignore the aorist and say the aorist is the same as the present? And no one has been able to. And of course, no, you're not going to talk like that in every day, because we're relating and speaking from the earthly vantage point. So nobody's going to say, well, I went to the store. And they said, well, you did? I said, well, when? Tomorrow. No. That's because of where you're speaking from. But if you're speaking from eternity, amen, tomorrow is already here. Oh, give God a praise. Those that are watching, just consider that. Amen. No.
Amen.
There are some terms that we want you to turn to your glossary of definitions before we exegete. That's on page 3. Again, those that are watching, if you there's an icon there that you click it on, and this entire document comes up. Volume 2. Actualization. To make actual real or turn into a action into a fact. Mm-hmm. It's already done. Amen. Every bit of it.
Amen.
The next one is authentic. Everybody say authentic. Reliable, dependable, accurate, faithful, and affirmable. Now you're talking in eternity. That's the difference between time and eternity. In time, nothing is secure. In eternity, everything is secure. In time, everything is in progress. In eternity, everything is complete. And we'll be going to get into this in a minute. So we must perceive things according to eternal viewing. Again, everybody say eternal viewing. That's how things are viewed from eternity rather than from time. Everybody say conception. The origination or beginning, the act of power of forming substance, or even an idea. And in this sense, I'm going to jump down to a word that we're going to use, turn the page. Everybody said nascent. Which means coming, or having recently come into existence, and this is something we're going to militate against say that the thing doesn't come into existence when we see it, when it shows up. Everything already is. Everything hasn't been manifested, but everything is actualized. And God having said it. He didn't have to come up with a new idea every day. It's done. He is complete. Then one other term, and then we'll get into some, well, two other terms, and then we'll get into some our exegesis here. Everybody say relativism. That's concepts according to cultures and situations of what something relates to. Everything relates to God. Everything that's worth anything, that is, that can be, that has been, has to be according to God. Everybody say according to God. See, we used to use in the humans' intelligence as the mental pole. But it's about what God has said. So why were you thinking so much? I said, why were you thinking so? Well, go to the Word of God. I said, no, I want to know what you think. No, you don't want to really know what I think. You might get anything. No, let me hide behind the Word of God. There's safety, and I tell the ministry, there's safety in hiding behind the Word of God. So in our writings, you see all of these scriptures, that's because when we write something, if they come after us, they have to go through the scriptures to get to us. And if you go through the scripture and get me, then I need to be gotten. And I'll be the first one to change. Because it's all according to God. Everybody say according to God. Then the last one for this morning anyway. Everybody says sagacious.
Sagacious.
Now that means to have an inner perception of something, to see beyond the surface. To deeply be able to search out the meaning and comprehend something. In the sense of what we're doing here, we're talking about the eternal perspective of wisdom. Everybody say the eternal perspective of wisdom. So what we're after here is that whatever we're talking about, it's relative to God and situated in eternity. Because that's where everything actually abides. Everything actually abides where? In eternity. Each and everything abides in eternity.
Amen.
And time, as I was conveying to the youth this morning, time is it's a creation. And it's an accommodation for manifestation. And we'll get to a scripture as we go through here that shows that manifestation, everything that is manifested is through what? Through light. So everything you see ultimately goes back to what? Light. We call things solid, but everything is light.
Right.
Oh, Pastor, you're crazy. Well, then let's see what the scripture, and not today. We'll come back to that. Now, oh, God, look at that time. We're going to look at the 16th verse. Either exegete the entire thing or part of it. Read that again, Elder, from the Greek.
Verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
In order that he may give you.
Stop. It reads, in apo imin, here the Greek verb pho is in a subjunctive mood. Which means there's a probability. Mm-hmm. Brother Dixon, you got your Greek lexicon there. Mm-hmm. It's in the subjunctive mood, right? Mm-hmm. What tense is it? Aorist tense. Mm-hmm. What's the aorist tense? So here you got a completed probability, mm-hmm. of which we're not going to skirt over it because of the rule. So that would be, he may give having given. Now what's the difference? In time, we're in process. In eternity, we've got progress. We got completion.
Amen. Yes.
It is a probability in time as to what the manifest, but it depends upon what God has actualized in eternity.
Amen.
Some will get this and some won't, depending upon what God has, amen, previously bestowed to receive. And Paul doesn't know, so he just lays it out here exactly what that is.
Amen.
Keep reading.
Amen. In order that he may give you according to the riches of the glory of him.
Mm-hmm. According to the abundance of his glory.
Amen.
Does it say that? Glory of him?
Yes.
Amen. That's the way that a lot of times we say foreigners talk backwards, even though their language in most cases is older than English. English is only 500 years old. Amen. But to them, amen. So we say his, put that in front. And here it says of him. It simply means the same thing.
Amen.
But speaking of God, because actually what you just outlay this and just make it, amen, apparent is when you say glory, anytime you use the word glory, you better be talking about him.
I hear you.
Even when it falls on you, mm-hmm. it was bestowed mm-hmm. by him.
Yes,
and it's only yours because mm-hmm. he laid it out on you.
Mm-hmm.
But it belongs to him.
Mm-hmm.
As we look at the genitive of possession here. Keep going.
According to the glory of him by power to become mighty.
To the power, with power, with power, with power. Again, we have a verb infinitive. It is in the aorist tense. It is a completed action.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the Brother Deacon, what? Pass it forward. So you're not just going to run past this as something that might be happening or something that maybe you got control or you got some participation in. No. The Greek word here is katheothene, it's a verb infinitive, it's in the aorist tense, passive voice, so it's having been strengthened. Where did you get your strength from? Whose glory is it? Whose power is it? That's your answer. So now y'all get all heavy over there and you don't get the big head and so forth. And now, if you know something, and this goes in the physical knowledge as well as spiritual knowledge. If you know something, how do you really know it? The light was given to you through revelation, which is a gift. The only time the only thing you brag about a gift is the giver of the gifts. And Paul, writing one occasion, I think it was Corinthians, so hold me to that, but he said, he had to be Corinthians. He said, if it's a gift, why are you acting like it's not a gift? Yeah, you got your chest. Look what I got. Where'd you get it from? The Lord? Well, you didn't get it. You received it.
That's right.
Having been strengthened through what?
Oh, Spirit, according to the riches, of him to become mighty through the Spirit of him.
Mm-hmm. In the Spirit,
in the inward man.
Here's where we're in today. It reads, each tongue esso anthropon, which is in regards to the inner man. What is in you has been placed in you, not for you, but for God's purpose, which we'll, as we pick up when we come back next week. God has a purpose for us understanding. And this is why we're going to take our time. We're going to go through all five parts of this. In the in volume 1, if you can remember, those of you that were here, or you can go through the internet, some 100, over 100 messages are there just on this dissertation. That's in audio, not in the video. We don't have that much space. But we, in volume 1, we talked about God's ontological existence in himself. That is, his being is in him. We talked about that the existence of everything was actualized, initialized, through God's saying in eternity. Then we looked from that standpoint that all possibilities was actualized in God's saying. If it's not actualized, it can't manifest. On the other hand, if it's actualized, it can't help but manifest. It must be, because it is. And that's why when Jesus talk about these things must be, they must be because they already are. It is the locale of God's creative acts in eternity, the beginning of time, or in the sphere of time. And it talks about God's plan and some other things that we'll go through as far as the timeless of God and so forth is said. Let's end up here today. I want to go through a couple of paragraphs of the introduction. So let's turn to page 4. Probably more than 2 years on this. Everybody have got the introduction, amen? Amen. The scripture principle and purpose of life resides solely in God's essence, rather than merely reflects in objectives of his creation. Who God is more important than what he has done. And he doesn't have to depend upon what he has done to be who he is. He is. Everybody say he is. God. Humanly communal rationale contends that the existence of God is relevant strictly as to how such relates in functionality to and of creation. No, it does not. Now, in this scenario, if you view it that way, God's necessity is constrictively viewed in his accommodations of creation's objective. That's the way you view God. That's what most of us view God, as an accommodator. And it doesn't go beyond that. Scripture. scripture enlightenment, everybody says scripture enlightenment, confirms that God's immanence, that's his importance, his essence, transcends his makings situational as to what is sourced as consistent of rather than the results of purpose or meaning in life. And what we're saying is, amen, hallelujah, God is more important than all of this, everything around you. He's more important than everything that's going on. That's why he's the subject this morning. Because all of this can come and go, but God remains. Because he always was and will be. And nothing can come and interrupt the essence of that which he has accomplished in our behalf. And oh my God, hallelujah. If you are in Christ this morning, everything else can dissipate and you're still in good shape. Oh, give him a praise this morning. Now, extreme human militating, it says in the deistic doubters, they mockingly inquire, what could possibly have any meaning or purpose to life that is dependently insourced from some, this is the doubters now, unproven provider. I don't waste my time trying to argue with somebody about whether God exists. I won't spend 5 seconds debating an atheist.
I hear you.
This is by faith. Knowledge is by faith and revelation. And I realize that if God didn't elucidate and illuminate me, I would think the same way he thinks. Natural man knoweth not the things of God. Because what? They are spiritually understood, discernible. Subsequently, the underlying challenge is unsubstantiated in claiming or averring that some remote entity is actually a prerequisite for meaning and purpose in one life. Some outside force, some maybe fate. Even we have confidence in our free will to make something happen. My friend, you cannot make anything happen. And the main reason is because it has already happened. And it, for the most part, is not the way you think it has happened. So what you think doesn't align with what is, in most instances. Now the scripture primary issue in conveyance, and I'm close here, and a function of existence, and I leave you with this, is in its original source. Where do things come from? Where did they originate from? This is where we're after. In other words, eternality is the sole verifiable medium for connoting exhibits in existence origination. And so that's the difference between actualization, that is what God has spoken into existence, which is, resides in eternity, and manifestation. And that is the displaying or testimony of what God has already done. In one, it's all completed. In the other one, it's in processes. It's sequenced. There is no sequencing of anything in eternity. There's no such thing as day, night, morning, noon, night. I know we sing the song, when I've been there 10,000 years, back salary of the sun. Amen. I'm not saying don't sing that, but I'm just there. And I understand they're putting some humanistic terminology in there. In eternity, there is no such thing as year, decade, century, millennium. Everything just is. Now, the advantage of that is just going to cause you, as we learn, first of all, be very comfortable with what God has done. Part of our problem is we're a little nervous about what God has done. That was the purpose of the book. The first book, Don't Be Afraid of God's Will. And somebody said, well, Pastor, don't tell me about God's will. I'm afraid of what God's will might be. No. This is why we get into the love aspect of showing from the beginning the extent of his love and having placed you in him, in Christ, before creation, before the foundation of the world. Love you so much that he's some position you, and you are part of him. You are a member of his body. Why are you worried about whether he will pay your bills if he has saved you? So, well, because I might get my car repossessed. Purpose? What was that you were saying yesterday about that movie? And I'm not here to try to promote a movie, but things happen in this man's life. Very reversive. And through it, he moved from one spot to another spot, and there was something there waiting on him that ultimately he ended up in the White House. Now!
Come on here.
Oh my God. Here we are moving on earth!
Yeah.
And we're going through this trial, this problem, this situation, that setback. What does it matter if ultimately we're in the body of Christ? A problem is we're viewing life from within life. There's a song that saints used to sing. You don't hear these kind of songs anymore. It's called Look and Live. Look and live. Look where? It's recorded in his word. Look and live. Can you repeat? Look and live. Come on. Follow me here. Look and live. Look and live. It's recorded in his word. Hallelujah! 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 If you will only look, and my friends, you will live.